Hello everyone and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 39 for January 24th, 2019. And this week it's a little slow week in gaming, primarily because we're all, I think, salivating over Resident Evil 2 at the moment. But we're going to jump into that Mortal Kombat 11 reveal. We're going to talk about some stuff that we're currently playing. I know Robbie's been playing Fortnite. I gave Kingdom Hearts another shot.
That sounds like a way more fun game, Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, it's like a drinking game. Yeah. Square made a drinking game. So, anyways, let's get to it. My name's Josh Faulkner. We got Zach Anderson there. What's up, Zach?
Hi. How's it going?
I'm wonderful. And we got Robbie Stiltonpool. Hi, Robbie.
What's up, dude?
How you?
Doing well, man. Today, I'm that nerd that today is a really big day, an enjoyable day, because the Oscar nominations get dropped, and I get to sound like a prude and judge every movie that should have been nominated that wasn't. So it's a good day.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. But yeah, okay. I have thoughts and opinions on that as well. But Shannon is out this week. He had an emergency he had to deal with at the last minute. So hopefully Shannon will be back next week. Sorry you couldn't make it, Shannon. We miss you, bud. And we'll see you definitely next episode. But
he's angry at me about the Kingdom Hearts post that I had.
Yeah, you bowed out of Kingdom Hearts, and now he's angry. So
I think he's missing out though on seeing Josh's nicely coiffed beard here.
You know, yeah, like, I shaved it. Yeah.
Got it trimmed all the way down.
I do, man. I had to 5 o'clock shadow that bad boy because it was just driving me nuts. For anyone listening, my facial hair gets way too long. It drives me insane. I play with it. Like, I stick my fingers in, I twirl it around, and it drives me insane. I can't have it grow, like, way too long. So I had to hack it off. But for more for us, head on over to thatpixellife.com, including all the links you may be interested in, like following us on Twitter at thatpixellife for show updates. You can subscribe to us on Twitter if you want the unedited live stream recording sessions of each of these episodes. You can join our Facebook group there as well to talk about games with us. You can also subscribe to our Patreon page if you want to help fund the show and you get some incentives like being able to watch these shows live every week and getting early access to the video versions. Also, every podcast platform we can be found on, there are links to all of them there. So if you listen to it, if you use that app or program or service, whatever it is, we're probably there. So you can get the links on our website. So I want to start us out real quick, guys. We got a question from our community, and instead of just answering on the Facebook page, I just thought we'd answer it here. Mm-hmm. David Pitzer, he asked, and I quote,
I almost posted a video answering this.
Yeah, that's why I thought we'd answer it here, because I figured you of all of us would probably have the most to say. So he said, curious to get your guys' feelings on the pending GameStop sell, restructuring, closing, who knows, whatever it is. I know with some purchases going digital, it's inevitable that the brick-and-mortar stores will shut down, but part of me really misses having to go to physical spaces for gaming needs. Just as an interesting time for the industry for me. So basically he's wanting to know what our feelings are about GameStop in general with the industry moving towards digital so much. And Robbie, I know you have worked for GameStop for many years in the past.
Yep.
So I'm going to throw this your way, man. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we are in a time where we are closer to digital-based games being the norm. You know, like we are closer to that. However, people, and I'm not saying David here, I'm just saying people in general, they're still in ignorance, and I don't mean that negatively, I just mean lack of knowledge. They're still in ignorance to the fact that the Midwest specifically still has piss poor internet service. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have anywhere, like I'm an hour away from fiber, from a fiber optic internet. Like, we're probably going to have it within the next year. Like, and my internet with Allert is currently great. But you can't get anything close to the way I am in the Midwest or certain parts of the South. Like, the internet is still bad. And so that's why, like, I can't remember the name of it, but there's still like a brick and mortar shop that's kind of, that's like a Blockbuster that still has like 600 stores around the Midwest that is still chugging along just fine, because people still have to have physical games to play their games because they can't download digital games yet. And so, and so I think we need to keep that in perspective, but also we all knew GameStop, we knew 5 years ago that GameStop was heading down a dark path whenever they start trying to sell cell phones and started trying to sell iPads,
yep,
when they were when they were trying to be Best Buy, we knew that they were making adjustments. And then, you know, 3 years ago when they bought ThinkGeek, like, they have been trying to make adjustments to fix their issues. And the biggest thing is this: people realize I can get new games cheaper online on Amazon and stuff like that. I still think that, and I will take this argument to my grave, that GameStop does offer the consumer an awesome way to buy new games with their pre-order system, because you can pay it off in layaway format.
Mm-hmm.
But GameStop has been, they've been playing close with fire for the last, you know, what, 5 to 7 years, and they continuously show decline in the money they make every quarter. So, I mean, David's point's valid. Like, this may not be the end of physical games, but we may be looking at the end of GameStop.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I mean,
that was long-winded. My bad.
No. I think you raised a lot of good points, and the one thing I would add to what you were saying is GameStop has really, more than anything in the last 5 years, come across as extremely reactionary. You know, like, it was one of those things like, oh, people like Funkos, great, we'll get ThinkGeek and make half our store Funko Pops. Like, okay, okay, like, classic gaming's back in vogue. We're now going to buy and sell NES and Super NES cartridges. That's fine. Great. You know, like, what do you guys want? What do you guys want? We'll do it. We can do that. Let's do that. You know, whatever you guys need, please just come to our stores, whatever we can do. And it's very off-putting as a consumer. You know,
especially with the retro thing that you mentioned, yeah. That because if you're a big retro game guy, and I feel like that hobby has really picked up steam in the last like 5 or 6 years, you don't want to buy that stuff from GameStop. Like, there's plenty of YouTube videos out there where they think they're buying a complete copy of a game, and then they sell them some scratched up disc that just comes in a sleeve, a paper sleeve. So I don't even see them really appealing to retro gamers that much with the way they sell those things too. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot in that regard.
This current like sickness of nostalgia that's infected American culture, it can't sustain itself. You know, I mean, at some point, you're not going to buy the 10th Transformer Optimus Prime figure. You're not going to go see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reboot again, or the next Power Rangers reboot again. Eventually, it's like, new stuff has to replace all that stuff. You know, like, we all get kids. We all don't have the income to just buy our childhood over and over and over again at some point. And so, to latch onto those things as business models for a company that size, it's ludicrous. It's trying to blow up the life raft you're on. You know, that's all it is.
Yeah, I still think a lot of people still prefer physical games.
Yeah.
Primarily because you can sell them, you can trade them, you can let a buddy borrow them, you know, stuff like that. And I think that still has a lot of appeal. And when you're spending $60, a lot of people still want a physical thing in their hand.
I mean, it still appeals to me.
I mean, what doesn't appeal to me about it now is the fact that I don't really get those discounts anymore by not going outside of GameStop, because everyone stopped them. Amazon stopped it. Best Buy stopped it. This is my last month that I have Gamers Club unlocked, and I won't have that ever again. So I'm going to go digital because the convenience of it works better for me. I don't have to walk into a store. I can just buy the game online. It's there. I can preload it before it comes out. I still get all the digital bonuses and goodies and all that stuff. To me, it's just easier that way. And if I'm going to spend the same amount of money, that's the route I'm going to take, because it's a lot less effort. And I think that if we hit to the next generation and these consoles start to force more digital stuff more than they do now, which we're kind of already there already. If you buy a new game, you have to patch it. I mean, you got to connect online. Sometimes you got to connect to servers to even play the damn thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're already getting there, and I think it's going to be worse next gen. I don't see GameStop going anywhere soon. I'd say give them another 5-10 years. Maybe we'll start to see them fizzle out.
No.
You don't think so?
I'd give them 5 at the most. Like, really? At the most. I think.
Well, who's buying them?
No one. They'll just go out of business. They'll be Circuit City. Like, they'll just go away.
But here's something. I can't remember what podcast I heard this on. But it was like, I think it was with IGN. One of the biggest things that keep GameStop afloat is their physical console sales.
Sure.
Is that is it like and the day that change or the day Sony or Xbox don't give them the price they're giving them for the consoles, like, that'll be the day it's done. Heck, I've said this for almost 5 years now. The day that Sony or Microsoft or, well, Nintendo's never going to do it because of hashtag Nintendo tax, but the day that Sony or Xbox charge less for a digital game through their console, GameStop's done.
Yeah.
And
do you guys see that happening? Because I don't think it will.
I don't know. I'll tell you this, Josh. I never thought I would see the day when Best Buy would get away from their Gamers Club. I never thought I'd see the day when Amazon would be dominating sales for video games and for, you know, consoles. Like, I never thought I'd see that. I mean, of course, I knew that, you know, eventually this was all going to be internet-based stuff, but working 2006, when I started working at GameStop, I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that GameStop would have purchased a freaking nerd apparel store to compensate the money they were losing.
I wonder if it was easier to just buy ThinkGeek than it was to go through all the hoops to get their own contracts with, like, Funko and all these companies. It might have just been like, you know what? It's just easier to buy you. You've already got all this stuff. I still wonder what their motivation was there.
But, and a lot of people still use GameStop as with their old games as currency. You know, if you're done with it and you don't want to play it anymore, you can trade it in towards the next game. And you know, that's I still think GameStop is the biggest place to do that right now. I know Target you can do it, Best Buy you can do it, Amazon you can send them into them and do it. But yeah. I mean, do really people use those services that much? And most people just walk into a GameStop and drop them off.
Well, because it's easier. But you're also dealing with kids in that regard, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the majority of your audience there is children. That I mean, and by that I mean people under the age of 18 that don't have the means to necessarily, like, go buy their own games, or you know, they're getting games as gifts and then using that as currency to get the things they want. I think all of that changes with the next console generation, and that's why I would say 5 years at the most. It would not surprise me in the slightest if either one of these consoles is discless.
Isn't there a rumor that there's a discless Xbox One coming out this year?
Yeah.
Like, you know what, Josh? If that's real, then I may lean more what Zach's saying, because dude, we're one step away then.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, the consoles are just specialized PCs at this point. And you haven't been able to buy a PC game in the store for years.
But
they don't even make them.
But don't we also? I mean, I know people hate the trade-in rates, but don't you guys also see a scary thing to this happening? If they do go discless and they don't lower the price of the games, then no one ever gets a chance to really play a new game until we wait for a flash sale or some big sale to happen, like. People don't get to trade in anything to take the price down.
Now that you say that, I'm afraid that we won't see flash sales. You know, because if it's all digital, will we see sales and the prices go as low as they do during flash sales like that as much?
I think you still will, simply for the volume of games that are released in a calendar year. There is no way anyone is going to pay full price for everything that's released. You know, a lot of most people, I would think, have two or three titles a year that they have dog-eared, that's what I'm going to buy day and date. And everything else kind of falls in the cracks. You know, everything else is kind of like, well, if I see it, I'll get it. If it's a good price, I'll pick it up. You know, last year it was like, I'm going to buy Spider-Man. I'm going to buy God of War. And everything else I'll figure out along the way. And yeah, I paid a lot. I mean, I went all digital. The only game I got on a disc was God of War, and it's because I got it as a present. I didn't actually buy it for myself. But everything else I got digitally, and with the exception of Spider-Man, everything was a sale. Everything I bought, you know? And I don't see that changing, because just the sheer volume of games that are released, people have to do things to get themselves noticed. And a lot of those sales aren't that's not Sony's call, or it's not Microsoft's call. They just go, hey, we've got a sale coming up, and these publishers are like, you put that game in, you put this game in, you put that game in. You know, we're dropping the price out on X, Y, and Z. And so, and so I think that's where the pressure comes from. It's not going to come from the consumer, and it's not going to come from the console maker. It comes from the publisher saying, you need to lower the price because we need to move units of this.
So that does, I'm not going to lie, like, that does give me some hesitancy to an all-digital market. And I never considered that until this conversation of what if we do get all-digital, but the prices stay the same. You know, like, because
I think they will, because we're already up for a price increase. Like, we're kind of far away from it.
Zach, I think even you'll agree with this. I mean, it makes no sense, to a certain degree, it makes no sense that we have to pay $60 for a digital version of the game that doesn't have a disc, doesn't have a case, doesn't have anything in it. Like, there is no extra cost. It's just the download of the game, the ROM of the game.
Well, and I agree with you, but here's where I'm on the other side of it, is it makes no sense that you're paying $60 for a $100 product.
Touché, sir.
You know, and so that's where I kind of am in agreement, is if there are drives in the next generation of consoles, it would not surprise me at all if those games are $69 each.
Josh is right. We're set for, should have gotten a price jump at the, we should have gotten a price jump in the PS3 era,
You know, per dollar basis, people paid more money for Super Nintendo games than they're paying now. And look at the difference in games, you know, if you adjust for inflation. But it's one of those things where it wouldn't shock me in the slightest to see them at $69 and the digital version still at $59. And I think that happens if these companies really want to put brick and mortar out of business as far as video games go. You know, like, they're playing the long con on this. They're not taking it generation by generation. They're trying to do what's best for them 20 years from now. And what's best for them 20 years from now is you buying directly from them. You know,
but we also have brick and mortar stores going out and saying, hey, if you're not going to let us sell your games in our store, we're not going to sell your consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that too. I mean,
that's their prerogative, you know?
Yeah. And I understand that, but I mean, how are we going to get these consoles now? We just have to order them directly through Microsoft or Sony, or what if we're retailers like Walmart, just like, no, I'm not going to carry these anymore, cause you're not going to sell games anymore that I can sell to the consumers with these consoles.
Everyone saw how Apple did business and said, that's really successful. I'll do that. You know, exactly. They went, you went to Apple stores and bought Apple phones. Like, that's how that worked. And then all these companies went, wait, so many people are buying these that, yeah, we'll sell them at Best Buy now. We'll sell them at Target now. We'll sell, you know, all those companies jumped on board. But taking everything back into the home base and distributing it just from you, all of a sudden you can control every aspect of it. And if you're a company like Microsoft who got your ass handed to you this last generation, that probably sounds pretty good, to be honest.
And when you say that, Zach, you're talking about worldwide sales, correct?
Yeah,
Microsoft Next, because that does matter for all you Xbox fanboys. Like, that matters. It's not just domestic sales; it's worldwide sales. And yes, I'm calling you out, Matt Sattler, who continues to argue that it's not, it's not that big of a disparity because it's in the U.S. Well, I'm sorry, we're not the only country that buys consoles worldwide. From the latest, and the thing is, Xbox has yet to release their number of sales of consoles. Mm-hmm. They have not released them. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's because they've done that because they're essentially conceding this generation. I mean, we've covered that before on here, where I think the last 2 years of Microsoft's Xbox division has been setting up for the next console.
I love you, Matt. I was just teasing.
This has all just been like, you know, this has all been set up for the next one. So when the next one comes out, it's just bigger, better, faster, more, but all these systems are in place. You know, they're not now introducing Game Pass and now introducing their live adjustments and now introducing all this stuff. All this stuff has existed at this point. And improve upon it, hopefully.
And we can have you could have someone like my brother Ryan, who he may buy one big title a year, but if he wanted, he could go the entire year and only spend $100 on video games because there's so many smaller budget indie games that come out, you know, digital only.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, what was Dead Cells? I got Dead Cells for $20 and and I put almost 60 or 70 hours into that game.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know? Or you have something like Fortnite, you know?
But the, well, and you know, game, you can't overlook the power of something like Game Pass, especially as it relates back to our GameStop conversation. I have played multiple games off of Game Pass that I might have considered purchasing for reals. You know,
what was
I mean,
that tweet? What was that tweet you had a couple months ago? Like, Game Pass has kept me from the
impulse buys.
Yeah, impulse buys.
Yeah, I've and that has maintained. I've had zero impulse purchases for video games because you know what? There's always a game I can find on Game Pass to try every time.
Yeah.
You know, and I found some great ones. Strange Brigade, fucking rules. Graveyard Keeper is super fun. I mean, Forza is on there, and you could play Forza for 200 hours and not see everything in that game. Ashen is a great game.
Ashen was really good.
You know, and so I'm just naming games off the top of my head that are on the service that are great. And you know what? I'm going to get Crackdown I've already downloaded Crackdown. It just needs to unlock at this point. You know, like, titles that would draw me to a store to go spend money, and I'm not, because I'm giving Microsoft $10 a month instead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for me, that's value. That's a good bargain as far as I'm concerned.
It seems like it's too cheap. I don't want to say that and give Microsoft ideas, but Game Pass is insanely cheap.
It's almost like Movie Pass. Cheap,
like, yeah, like one, like one, it's hard to believe.
One day there's gonna be a course correction on that.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily know because I think a lot of it is indie games that get really good exposure. You know, I mean, you know, no one's buying Graveyard Keeper in volume, you know, but it's a really fun game.
But what about Mutant Year Zero? Like, that was supposed to be a big title, and it got put on there.
Yep.
Isn't that the game?
You're talking about like the XCOM thing with the duck and all that?
Yeah. Is that Microsoft published, though?
Oh, no.
I don't think so.
But I'm just giving an example of stuff that I wasn't expecting ever to see on Game Pass. It's on Game Pass. Like, I think KOTOR, the first KOTOR, has been on Game Pass.
Yeah. A lot of those Xbox 360 games are on Game Pass, to where if you want to go back and play something that, you know, from a franchise that's getting a sequel or something, that's a great way to
revisit those games. And heck, I mean, to promote Xbox for a second, they have an app called the Xbox Game Pass, and you can download that app, and it gives you all the news of upcoming games that are coming, or, you know, what's going to be added. Heck, dude, even though We Happy Few is completely disappointing, I mean, you can still play that game and be disappointed for free, you know?
Yeah.
Or Just Cause 3. We should have never made Game of the Year, Ori in the Blind Forest. Like, that game...
Oh, dude.
That game is on there. That game's on there for you know, for free, technically.
Yeah. And I love how they give you notifications. Like, I'll just get a notification on my phone, like, hey, these games are available now. And I had no idea they're even in process of being added to that service. So it's really cool.
Those are fighting words, Robert Stone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going there, man. I'm not going there.
That sequel is so high up on my for this year releases. Like, that sequel is very highly anticipated by me.
Yeah. I think we're getting more Cuphead this year too.
Yeah, Cuphead is so good.
That's on Game Pass.
Yep.
Yeah. So, David, I hope that answered your question. For you out there listening, if you want to contribute to this topic, find his post on our Facebook group and give your thoughts and opinions on this. We're very curious to hear those. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. You know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I think next gen is really going to dictate what happens with GameStop and the business practices around that and how they evolve with, you know, whatever's new coming our way, we'll know.
And as we're seeing, like, I mean, Sony's not going to be at E3. You know, like, just the game culture in general is changing drastically just in the over the last calendar year. You know, so there's no telling what it's going to be next year. You know, I wonder if Sony is. I still question whether Sony's not going to be there because they're going to wait until the end of the year to reveal their console. So, but anyway, that's for another conversation.
I think that does tie in because, I mean, E3 was always a expo for vendors. You know, it was always to show off your wares of what's coming up, so people might want to make deals to carry your game and sell your game, you know, that sort of thing. And to have one of the, or the major console manufacturer and publisher in the gaming space leave speaks to how unimportant that is. I can market directly now. I don't need this anymore. So why would I spend millions to make it happen?
Yeah, it's going towards like a PAX. It's going to be like a fan expo, yeah, I think, here in the next few years.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, they might even start doing that this year. I don't know. With Sony gone, it might, you know, do a hard turn more towards a expo kind of thing for fans. Go ahead and jump on our industry buzz. Now, Mortal Kombat 11's reveal event was last week, and Jesus. I know you guys had some choice words about this, and I thought it'd be fun to talk about. And I'm not sure if you guys are big Mortal Kombat fans at all. I have always been a big Mortal Kombat fan, and so the fact that this game's coming out, I'm very highly anticipating it. I didn't really care for 10 that much, though.
Yeah, I love 9. I love 9.
9 was one of my favorite games of last gen.
It was so good. And
9 was great.
And somehow 10 just didn't have the same magic. I don't know what it was. Like, the fighting was pretty much the same. Like, but I don't know. There was something about how original that single-player storyline was that first time around that really captured me. And it just didn't do the same in 10.
And I feel like NetherRealm has a... I feel like they have a problem with creating new characters for this franchise because I feel like every time they add new characters in, I don't care about them at all. I mean, honestly, like the last time I was excited about a new character in a Mortal Kombat, it was Mortal Kombat 3. You know, I just don't really like their new characters. Now, given they are bringing back Scarlet in 11, and she was a DLC character in Mortal Kombat 9, and she was actually really, really good, and she fit in with this franchise very well, so I'm glad they're bringing her back.
Yeah, I think was the other thing with 10, where they had all the horror movie characters that...
Yeah,
I mean, it was
they'll
like,
probably do that here, too.
And it was, like, neat, but, man, that was kind of dumb at the same time, and
Yeah, so they did announce a new fighter named Garrus, some kind of Sandman-looking dude. He's kind of like a brawler character. He's a grabbler. So, I mean, yeah, he looks okay. Nothing major there. So that's not really, like, you know, igniting my fire here. But Ronda Rousey was announced to be the voice of Sonya Blade, or Sonya, however you want to pronounce that. She was probably a very cheap pickup, I'm assuming. She's probably very inexpensive now to get a little marketing and hype behind the game. So Scorpion, Raiden, Baraka. Baraka was always my favorite Mortal Kombat character. I'm glad he's here. Obviously, Sub-Zero's here. Sonya, whatever you were. Shao Kahn's coming back. Scarlet's returning as well. So those are the ones that have been announced so far. And if you pre-order the game, you get Shao Kahn as DLC. And there's a beta coming out in March as well. So what do you guys think?
They did announce Nightwolf as well.
Oh, did they? I did not see that.
During the Blood Moon a few days back, they posted on Twitter that Nightwolf was released. Or coming to the game as well.
I made the joke that by the trailer it looked like that the team who had been working on Injustice was tired of making kid games because they just had a complete rubber band effect of just blood and gore everywhere. And I still stand by that. It is incredibly, incredibly graphic.
Are you turned off by that at all?
No. I was just making a joke. Like it was just funny to me of how much of a rubber band effect it was from. It's almost like if after all the Marvel movies we've seen, if Marvel continues to release Deadpool as the Deadpool we know it, like it's just like a complete rubber band effect. But Mortal Kombat has never really been that fighter, that kind of fighting game that I enjoy. I mean, I think Injustice wouldn't be the game that I wouldn't enjoy Injustice as much as I do if I wasn't a DC fanboy. And I think that's just because of the way their combat is built. I'm just not a huge fan of that. But with that said, I loved Mortal Kombat 9. Like, I enjoyed, and that was because they introduced us to, hey, you can have a really good story in a fighting game. Let's show you, you know? And then they continue that with Injustice. This is a game that I will probably play if it comes to Game Pass or something like that, but this is just not It's just not my cup of tea. It's just not my kind of fighter. But
yeah,
I, at the same time, seeing Raiden, Dark Raiden, or whoever the heck that was, Dark Raiden just wreck Scorpion was awesome to watch.
I think one of the reasons why I've always gravitated towards the series is that the special moves are easy to do. When I was a kid, I always struggled to do like quarter circle punch attacks and like all that stuff that you do in Street Fighter. Even to this day, like I don't struggle with it as much as I did as a kid, but even to this day, I have trouble with that stuff. And I like Mortal Kombat because it's just like back forward punch or down forward back kick or something like that, you know, like it, there's no quarter circle stuff. You got to get like in between in there. You got to get your thumb in between the two inputs and, you know, and then like the one where you do like down forward and then in between to do like a move on. I think that stuff always just, it never gelled with me with like stuff like Street Fighter. So that's one reason why I always like Mortal Kombat. Yeah. The fatalities are cool. You know, it's cool, you know, finishing your buddy off with some kind of crazy, just nasty, gross move. I think they've definitely outdone themselves this time around.
Yeah, that Baraka fatality they showed was just one of those, like, okay. And then you hit the, like, okay, that's way over the top. Oh, it's still going. God, it's still, I don't want to watch any. Oh, why? Why is this still going? Like, oh.
They're still not going to top the fatality of Cassie Cage in the Mortal Kombat 10, where she, like, rips the dude's, like, throat out or whatever and then takes a selfie and posts on social media.
Yeah,
that was pretty awesome.
But I always liked Liu Kang dropping a Mortal Kombat cabinet on someone. That was always really fun.
Yeah, they definitely upped the ante with the gore in this game. Like, these are much more detailed fatalities. They run longer. They're more of a spectacle here. So that's going to turn some people off, and it's going to excite some people. I think that stuff's cool. The gorier, the better in my book. But I don't know. What do you think, Zach? Like, is this game gelling with you at all?
I'm very interested in playing it. I'm kind of like you. For me, though, my peak Mortal Kombat love was Mortal Kombat 3. It just, you know, that was like a time in my life when I was still going to arcades pretty regularly. And it just, I like the roster they had in that one. I dug all the fighters. I forget, what's the name of the Lady Goro?
Shiva?
Yeah, Shiva? Is that Shiva?
Yeah, Shiva, yeah. I think, or Sheena, or something like that, yeah.
I used to just wreck face with her nonstop. Like,
well, that was the game that introduced a combo system, too.
And I was a big Killer Instinct person, too, back in that day.
Combo breaker.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you get Saber, like, a cybernetic werewolf, like, that can do some, like, 96-hit combos? Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Cinder was that junk, man. Oh, I love Cinder.
I always liked the girl in the green. I forgot her name.
Yeah, that had the bow staff thing.
I forgot. Even in the new Killer Instinct, the Xbox One game, I always used her. She was really good in that one, too. I forgot her name. Someone's going to correct us, but...
But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. But it was more like that... So that time in my life, I was really into that universe and those fighting games. 2 and 3 are still my favorite fighting games of all time. Like, stack them all up, and Street Fighter 2 is somewhere underneath those. I just spent so much time playing Mortal Kombat 2 and 3 that I really always had a soft spot for this series. But I'm a little concerned watching it that they were like went so whole hog on the fatalities and the grossness of it. That is there still going to be a game worth playing here, or is this just like, you know, Eli Roth's Mortal Kombat? You know, like what are we doing here?
That's not concerning me too much. My concern is that it's just going to be more of the same, because Mortal Kombat 10 was pretty much just another version of Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah.
And this looks like just another version of the same kind of combat style and everything.
Kind of that Mega Man problem, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I just hope it doesn't get stale is my main concern. I'm sold day one anyways. Like, I'll probably pre-order the digital version when it gets closer to the release. But, yeah, I've always been a big fan, so I'll check it out. But, it looks cool, though. The graphics are great.
It's going to be one of those, if it comes out to really good reviews, I'll probably pick it up. Like, if the buzz on this one is, oh, wow, no, this is a total return to form to 9 or something like that, I'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll snag that. Because, I mean, if you guys remember when 10 came out, the reviews or the buzz around that game were basically what we were saying. Was like, yeah, it's kind of more of the same and it's good. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, and that's, I think and, that and, game and I feel, came... That game came out at a time where no one really was ready for a new Mortal Kombat, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true, too. But I don't know. I just remember it being like, yeah, it was fine. Like, that was like everyone's view of it. It's like, yeah, it's fine. And then when I played it myself, I had the same reaction of like, yeah, it's good. I don't know. There's nothing special to it, but it's good. Yeah, and so that's, I'm kind of hoping for a little something more. And I'm just worried that they're trying to do that with just the insane amount of gore. Is like, oh, we'll just shock people into liking this, you know? And it's like, well,
All right, cool. We'll see how it goes. Now, as a contrast to Mortal Kombat, they also announced I think it's funny they announced this at around the same time. There's a Power Rangers fighting game coming out as well called Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. This game is developed by Inway, which is a mobile game team. They make a lot of free-to-play mobile game stuff. The cool thing is it's getting cross-platform play, which you don't see in most fighting games, which is really awesome. But are you guys having any interest in this at all, or are you scared that the mobile game developers is going to microtransaction the hell out of it?
Right there, where my hand is pointing, is a Dragon Dagger, a Megazord Pop, and a Green Ranger Pop. I love the early Power Rangers.
So do I. I loved that show when I was a kid. I used to watch. I have a soft spot for that show because I used to watch it with my dad every morning before I go to school.
Was it my question was actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, Robbie, because my question was going to be, so is the fighting game you're the Green Ranger and you fight everyone else? Because he's not beatable, really, if you actually go by the universe that they live in.
The game looks like a mobile game.
It does.
Like and so. For me, I'm like, I will probably never, if the company sent me a copy, I'd review it, but I am not paying money for that game. It just looks like a mobile game. It does not look...
Well, okay, forget the game for a second. Can we talk about how much BS it was when the Green Ranger became the White Ranger, and then they tried to sell you on that, and it was like, yeah, this is a thing now. And it's like, no, the White Ranger sucks. What's this tiger bullshit you're trying to give me?
Dude, like, you didn't like a Saba? Dragon. You didn't like Saba?
He had a dragon, dude. Like, and they tried to give him.
I was talking about the sword, his sword that Saba, the sword. Like, that no. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's all well and good. He went from a dragon to a tiger. Like, I'm sorry, no, that is a downgrade. Like,
look, man, this is the same universe where Ivan Ooze dominated the universe, and they had to go to this island with a very over-sexualized woman on this island. I just want to point that out. Go back and watch that movie. She's very over-sexualized for a kid's show. And they're given these ridiculous, ridiculous ninja zords. Okay, let's just... ninja. Mm-hmm. And then monster truck zords? I mean, what the crap? The originals are the best.
It's like they sat around and went, huh, what do 8-year-old boys like? Well, they like ninjas. They like monster trucks.
Yeah,
it's like my crushing reality that I'm dealing with right now with fucking Puppy Dog Pals and goddamn.
Oh, your kid watches that too.
Oh, God,
the theme song gets stuck in my head all the time.
Josh,
did you know that Harlan Williams created that show? The comedian.
That's man, he's just getting paid. Like,
Josh, are you interested by this game, or are you like me, kind of disappointed how it looks?
Once I saw the developer, I was like, nope. Yeah. I would love to see a game like this, a Power Rangers fighting game, in the vein of something like Dragon Ball FighterZ, where they just put the love and attention into it. That would be great. I don't think this is that at all.
You know what would be rad, and correct me if they've done this, but an actual Power Rangers, like, Into the Spider-Verse, like, storyline, where all these different generations...
Well, in the show they have. Together.
Oh, have they? Like, yeah, so I was like, that would actually be kind of neat, like, to pull in, like...
I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Power Ranger comic is 10 shades of greatness. Like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had this thing last year called The Shattered Grid, and it was basically Dracone, who is an alternate version of Tommy, who becomes a bad guy, who stays a bad guy, and he lost Jason, he lost Kimberly, like, he lost all of his friends, and he became dark. And what if this meticulous fighter went around and started collecting all these other Power Rangers and made them bad as well, and he goes after one main universe of Power Rangers? So, I mean, it kind of is Into the Spider-Verse in a way, like, the comic, at least.
I love how it's essentially Star Wars. It's like, okay, yes, you have Sith and Jedi Power Rangers, and we're doing this.
But it was it,
which
it
was by the way, I'm so all good. On board for. Yes. I'm not making fun of that. I'm in. Like, yes,
get on that, JJ.
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be great.
Yeah. Now I do appreciate that they're making this cross-platform play. I would love to see more fighting games do that. But yeah, I don't think this is going to end up good. I hope I'm surprised though. Maybe this is the game that Inway really needed to prove themselves. I don't know. We'll find out. But yeah.
2 years from now, we're talking about this Power Ranger game and Fortnite as like the two biggest players in the video game universe, you know?
Yeah. It's like, got dance emotes for the White right. Ranger. Yeah.
Flossing kid suing Inway for stealing his
The clay the clay people that they fought all the time? The clay fighters or clay clan or whatever the hell they're all flossing. Yeah. Anyways, we'll move on. So that's pretty much it for our industry buzz this week. That's pretty much all that's been going on lately. Like there's just not a whole lot. IGN messed up another review today. That's like the fourth in 6 months they screwed up. Geez. So that was cool. They claimed that Resident Evil 2, the differences between the two campaigns, between the two characters were like very minuscule and insignificant, and they didn't even play through the like second scenario. They just went back to like the original scenario and just picked the second character again. So they made it look like there was really no difference between the two, and there's actually some big differences. So they didn't even play like practically half of the game, and they got called out for it and had to change it. So
whoops.
There's another one on IGN's shoulders there, so we'll see if they continue to do that. But what's going on with their reviewers over there, man? Like,
the thing is, the guy who reviewed this one is
Damon Hatfield.
Yeah, it's a head editor who's been there forever. I was caught off guard. I was extremely caught off guard whenever it was his review that got jacked up. But I would like to know more of what happened. Like, you know. Because I think the thing that happened last year with the guy who basically lied or whatever, and you know, like that's something that can be. I don't blame them for that. I blame that a-hole who lied and tricked everybody. But this just does seem weird. Like, how can you? Mm-hmm. How could you do that?
Well, they also screwed up the Borderlands 2 VR review too. They claimed the game had didn't have features in it that it did, and it's that they didn't even bother like looking in the options. So they like trashed the game, and there was options in there to address what they were complaining about. So people called them out on that too, and they had to pull that review also. So and then they did something with Ace Combat apparently recently too, and like one of the developers of the game like called IGN out on it. So I didn't really look too much into that one, but yeah, this is happening quite often with them. It's really strange. Let's move on to our weekly consultation. So, I gave Kingdom Hearts another shot this week.
Did you?
Now, I did. So, now, I didn't put, like, 10 hours into it or anything. So, this is very, like, surface-level Kingdom Hearts. But since the third one's coming out, for some reason, I'm still trying to talk myself into getting into this series for the third game. But I gave, so this is Kingdom Hearts Final Mix. This is I have the set that came out on PS4 that had just had like the 1.5 and the 2.5 bundled together in full HD and all that crap. So I loaded that one up, and I haven't played this game since like, 2002 when the game originally came out, and I played through a big chunk of Kingdom Hearts, and I just lost interest. And I remember one of the biggest complaints I had about Kingdom Hearts was the combat. I just thought it was very boring combat.
Oh, that Hercules battle.
Forgot where it was that I stopped in the game. It was in one of the Disney worlds, and I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm done. But so I thought I'd give the game another shot. So I loaded it up on PS4, and I played a couple hours of it. The game is a slog at the start with these really obnoxious like fetch quests that one of them was like, collect two coconuts, and I'm like hitting trees and having coconuts drop, and I'm like, I can't collect them. I'm like, why am I not able to collect the damn coconuts that they're telling me to? And you have to whack the tree like four or five times to get a different colored coconut to drop down, and you collect that one, and the game gives you no indication of that. I just happened to run into that, and that kind of drove me insane. But I got to Traverse Town, and I was messing around there. And the combat still is a big problem for me in this game. Now, I can't fault it too much because this game's, what, like 16 years old now?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, but the game has no dodge mechanics. So I feel like I'm just wildly swinging around and I'm getting hit by enemies and there's not a whole lot I can do about it. All I can do is stop swinging and just kind of jump out of the way. The combat just didn't feel like it was finished to me in this game. And going back to it and playing it now, like, it very much feels the same way. Like, I remember not having fun in the combat as a kid, and it's still here. I still have that problem. Everyone tells me that the game gets better as you go through. I'm going to try to play more. I know as soon as Resident Evil 2 comes out, I'm dropping this game like a rock. I'm sorry, but I'll probably play some more of it before Resident Evil 2 drops, and maybe it'll click with me eventually, because I don't even remember how many hours I put into it originally on PS2 before I just said nope and turned it off and never returned to it. But I'm trying. So I'm going to play some more. I'll report back if anything changes. But Robbie, you played this game a lot, didn't you?
Yeah, man. I put 200 hours into both games.
So does it get better? Like, is there something I'm doing wrong? Like, what's the deal?
I just
don't like it.
I think it's just one of those things where if you've never fully experienced something 20 years after the fact and you try to experience it for the first time, you know, so far out, it's not going to register. It's not going to hit. It's like, okay, here's a perfect example. This past weekend or last weekend, my wife threw me a birthday party, had some friends over. We sat down and pulled out the N64. We played Blitz 2000. It was awesome. However, before that, we put in GoldenEye. And we tried to play GoldenEye together. And none of us had played GoldenEye forever. And guess what? That game sucks.
That game belongs in memory only.
Yes,
now
that game it really does. That game sucks. It's the controls for it are awful now. Okay, especially when we have shooters to such a high degree. I could not go back and play the story of that game to unlock all those unlockable characters, or I don't want to do that because the game is not fun to play.
Yeah,
so
it's rough. It's
I really imagine rough. It's kind of in the same vein where, you know, you're talking about fetch quests. No one used that term back in 2002 when we were playing these games. No one talked about fetch quests. You know,
we're happy to collect those coconuts.
You know, like, so I think we're in a time now where it's hard to go back. This is why Zach and I respect Zach so much, and what I try to do myself. I don't let nostalgia dictate my purchases because sometimes, and I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm just speaking in general. Nostalgia can only cover up so many blemishes. And I look, dude, you're talking to someone who put more hours in this game than any of my friends growing up. And now my friends and my brother, they're super excited for Kingdom Hearts 3 next week, and I don't care. So
yeah,
to answer your question, I'm sorry, I went on a tangent. Yes, the game does get better once you start getting more powers and you start learning your combinations with Goofy and Mickey, and especially whenever you get a helper. And the summons are really cool, too. But at the end of the day, the base combat stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be rolling around, you're going to be dodging, and you're just going to be trying to shoot stuff. And you'll jump in, hit a couple times, jump out, shoot, and you'll heal. Like, that's kind of the combination that you're going to continue to do. So
yeah, and it looks like that's what it's about the same with Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, the combat doesn't really look much different to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be, but I'm not saying that they just flat out use the exact same combat system, but it looks very similar to me. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm still having trouble getting this. It's like, this is that one series that I should love for some reason, but I just can't get into it.
I'm disappointed because I started doing more research, and there's barely going to be any Final Fantasy characters in this game. And that bothers me because
they throw them at you right from the start in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah, because the Disney characters aren't what I love the movie for. Mm-hmm. Like, it is the integration of the Final Fantasy characters.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Zach, push us off the ledge because you hate these movies as much, or games probably as much as anybody. Go ahead.
I don't necessarily hate them.
Did you play them at all?
I played the first one up through the Hercules world, and that boss battle made me hate the game. Like, I because at the time in my life, it was, I didn't buy a lot of games. So I'm like, yeah, I'll buy this because it's something I can put 100 hours into and just chip away at and play. And for the time, the combat was annoying, but fine. I was kind of curious to see where it all went.
Could you notice that it was annoying back then? Like, because I loved it back then.
I just wasn't into it. But I've never been a big, like, A, I've never been a big Final Fantasy guy. Mm. B, like, JRPGs outside of very select few rarely got their hooks into me. You know, like, Chrono Cross and Chrono Trigger were probably the two exceptions that I freaking loved, you know? But Everything else I tried just kind of bounced off. But I, you know, it was the mixture of properties that got me to play it. I was like, yeah, I'm interested. I'll see what this is about. And then it got to a point where I was just fighting the controls so much that I gave up. I was like, I can't do more of this. I don't really care. I'm not invested. And I walked away from it. And, you know, at this point, I feel like I made the right decision because everything they've done since that first game has been kind of a cluster. But I want this to be good. Like, I want Kingdom Hearts 3 to be a solid game. I'd like to see someone advance this JRPG type system to a modern setting. Like,
I think, you know, 15 did, but 15 just took 10 years of hell and shutting down and coming back and shutting down and coming back, and it didn't get finished. Like, but I think as far as a combat for a JRPG, it did. And the leveling up system was so good in that game. But go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think you have a very good point with that. And I was going to say the closest I've seen to a modern system, and people make fun of me for it, was X2 with the whole dress sphere system. I thought it was amazing. Yeah. Like, it was a great fighting system. It really, really. The Final Fantasy X2.
Okay.
They swapped dresses. That was like their powers.
Yeah.
There were the whole like dress spheres fighting combat system. I thought it was great. I thought it was like, yeah, this is, someone build something off this. This is a really engaging, fun system to use. And I mean, there wasn't much else with that game other than the fighting system, but the fighting system was great. And then they've never used it again. And it was just one of those like, but the, I think this game is going to live and die with its fighting system. You know, I really do. And if they find a way to improve off 15 or even just steal it whole hog and you know, dress it up pretty while you play it, it'd probably be enough for most people.
I mean, is anyone else, like, I think we talked about this a little bit, but has any company really fallen from grace more than Square lately? Like, just, you know, Scott and I, last year, 2 years ago when the game came out, you know, we both played Final Fantasy 15 to its entirety together, and we enjoyed the hell out of it. But at the end of the day, we asked each other the question, was this worth a 10-year wait? And of course, the answer was no, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then we look at, you know, them announcing Final Fantasy 7, which we have no freaking idea if that's ever really going to happen.
Yeah.
And now we have Kingdom Hearts 3, and what, like, here's something to put in perspective, guys. We have had technically 5 Uncharted games, 6 God of War games, mm-hmm. 6 freaking Gears games, and what, 7 Halo games since the last Kingdom Hearts came out. The true Kingdom Hearts came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And all those games, like, at least with Uncharted, and I would say with Gears 2, like, things did progress. Like, things did get better. The shooting got mm-hmm. better. The gameplay got better in some form or fashion. Even in Halo, it got better and different. But, like, you, like Zach and Josh, both of you said, the combat looks almost identical to 2 from mm-hmm. the gameplay we've seen in 3. Like, just because you put more sparkles and you put more high-definition creatures doesn't mean that it's going to make me enjoy the game anymore. And I know I sound so negative about this game, a game that I love growing up, but it's like no one wants to play Final Fantasy VII combat anymore. Like, we've moved on from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the same thing here. You can only ride nostalgia for so long. And I say that, and freaking Spyro has huge sales, and freaking Ratchet and Clank has huge sales, and freaking Crash effing Bandicoot has huge sales, and it's all by freaking new nostalgia.
Yeah, they got Crash Team Racing coming out this year too, for the same reason they're cashing in on that stuff. So I don't know, but yeah, I'll continue to play it. I don't really think this game is going to change my mind. I still haven't played the second one at all. I own it on PS2 and PS4, but I'm afraid that to touch it because I didn't play through the first one. I'm not going to understand what's going on.
Well, it doesn't matter if you played them, because you're not going to understand anyway.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Like,
but
I think it's IGN or GameSpot, because I've read both of them. GameSpot does a better version of the catch you up on the story. If you want to play 3, read that one, even if you played them, just a refresher. Because A, you can get caught up, but B, you can hear how freaking nuts that story is and how much not sense it makes. It's almost like a Zack Snyder plot.
Okay, gotcha. Other than that, this week, like I popped Assassin's Creed Odyssey back in and started playing some more of that.
I need to get back to that.
Yeah, they just released a patch to where you can tweak the level scaling in it now. Mm. And that was one of the reasons why I went back to it, because I wanted to play around with that. Now, for anyone who doesn't know what that is, level scaling is basically as you level up, the enemies in the game level up with you to keep the game challenging to where you're not overpowered against like older enemies and stuff like that in the game. I never like that in games. I like to grind and level up and overpower myself and then just crush through things. And so the fact that the game did that, I never really cared for. And the first game I ever remember doing that was Final Fantasy VIII, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't really care for that game, because the enemies always scaled up and leveled up with you. So now they patch the game where you can disable that, or you can turn it down and make it weaker, or turn it up if you want. So I did turn it off completely. It's probably going to make the game a lot easier, I would assume. But I like that when I level up, all the old enemies that I fought in the past are weaker now, because I've grown as a character, and I prefer that. And I'm glad that they stuck that in there. But other than that, I've just been kind of running around the areas that I'm at in the game, just cleaning up side quests and stuff. Like, this is a game where I really like the side quests. They're all pretty fun to play.
You know why? Because why that game's that? Awesome.
It is really good. This is probably the best Assassin's Creed I've ever played. And you guys know I've always complained about this franchise. I've never been a big fan of it. I fully, fully enjoy this game. But I did play a mission where there was like some old lady who was like a sex addict or something, and I had to make like basically Roman Viagra for her husband, which was a really jarring mission, you know, for this kind of game. But so I went and like killed a bunch of animals so I could get the ingredients she needed to like give her husband a boner. So that was kind of a weird quest. And then I played one where I had to fight a giant boar, and there's a bunch of little boars that were running
in.
So
annoying.
That was a pretty obnoxious fight.
So annoying.
I beat it on my first try, but those little ones that kept running out was driving me insane.
Let me spoil something for you.
Okay.
Don't go through and beat all those legendary animals.
I wasn't planning on it anyways.
Because, and I'm saying this because at the end, the payoff is so small, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, there is no payoff.
Yeah, I really wasn't interested in that anyways. Even with, like, Red Dead and, like, Far Cry, they all have, like, legendary animals and all that crap in it too, and I always
assume that stuff. Zach, I don't know how far you are in this, but
not very far.
Okay, yeah. One of my biggest critiques of the game, I love the game. It was obviously my top five for the year. But one of my biggest critiques was, I wish that I could have had more than just a freaking one-night stand with people. Like, I wish I could have built relationships with these characters. Like,
get a little more Fable with it?
Yeah.
Like, a little more Mass Effect?
Yeah, a little Mass Effect. I mean, because if not, my dude is just going around like 007 just banging everybody. Like, there is no connection. There is no...
They gave me an option to bang the old lady I was making Viagra for.
Yes!
Yeah, I could have done that if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Hey, but, man, I like the options. That's cool.
Yeah, oh, no, that was cool.
Did she have you go get Silphium? Was that what you had to pick up?
No, I had to kill a deer and, like, a bear. And I had to, like, take organs from the deer or the bear in order to do it.
So fun. Here, gather around, children. I'll tell you some history facts. So you know how the modern symbol for love is a heart, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know why the heart looks nothing like a human heart?
Why is that?
because it looks exactly like the seed of this plant called Silphium that was a fennel species that grew in ancient Roman times, and they basically had a Viagra-type effect to it, and it was so popular that the Romans made it extinct.
Wow, like, they're popping that stuff left and right, huh?
Yep, yep. And yeah. the seed looks pretty much exactly like a heart. So
that's incredibly awesome. Zach, thank you for that tidbit of information, sir.
I'm here to serve, yes.
All right, cool. But yeah, I love the combat in this game. It's really fun. I like all the side quests. The world, to me, is much more fun to explore than it was in Origins. This game's really worked for me. So this is a game that, since it's so long, I feel like I'm just going to kind of poke at it throughout the year and just keep playing it like in little chunks. Like, I don't think I'm going to like marathon through this thing or anything, especially with so many good games coming out this year. But this is a game that I could still like see like installed on my computer, just in my rotation, just kind of poking our way at it from here and there. So yeah, I did that this week too, and that's about it. Now, Robbie, you got some Fortnite to talk about, right?
Yeah, and who, I don't know who the guy is that came at me on Twitter about this.
Okay.
But come at me, bro, okay? Because okay. I don't know who it was, but he slandered me for saying that Fortnite was in my top 10 games, but then saying that Red Dead was a disappointment. But yet he claimed that that Red Dead is one of the best games ever made. And
we caught a lot of flack for not recognizing that game at all, I noticed.
Well, make a funner playing game, a more fun playing game.
I agree, man. The game's just not very fun to play at all.
So whatever. And again, we are not the only group. Like, the number one video game podcast in the world, Giant Bomb, put it in his most disappointing games as well this year. Mm-hmm. In its top three most disappointing games this year. So, whatever. Anyway, Fortnite. It just frustrates me whenever everyone assumes that we're supposed to like a game or talk about a game or put it in our list if we don't like it. Like, it is what it is. I'll tell you that. I'll take Assassin's Creed over Red Dead any day of the week.
I agree. I think it's much more fun, yep.
But Fortnite. Okay, so I'm sure y'all talked about this via the news over the last month before I got here, but they have added planes to the game. I'm sure y'all talked about this, but and as many people know, since November of 2017, I have played this game almost every other day. Like, I've put a lot of time into this game.
Yeah, I got real deep into this one for a while. I haven't played in a couple months, but yeah, I was pretty hooked on it for a while too.
Like,
does the popularity, because when we first got into this game, it wasn't that popular right when it came out of the gate. The Battle Royale.
We're trendsetters.
We're absolutely. Now, do you feel like this is the way this game has exploded onto the scene, that it has hurt your love for it at all? Like, you're too cool to like it or something like that?
No, I don't have that mentality. It's like that guy. I don't want to be that guy who doesn't watch Game of Thrones because everyone else talks about Game of Thrones. Like, I don't want to be that guy. But like, I still have the same three or four guys that I play with almost every night. And so I just want to talk about what this game has done, like, gameplay-wise. They continue to change guns. They continue to add guns. They continue to tweak guns. They continue to add just items to have fun within this world. And what I've really enjoyed is the fact, if you're not good at building, they have started to implement items and weapons that take down structures so you are not hurt by your inability to build. Like, they have tried to put balancing axe into the game to help you against someone who can freaking build so fast a structure's up within 2 seconds because they can click and move so fast. At first I thought the planes were an absolute dumb move. I thought this was going to break the game, but all it has done is just make the game more fun. Like, it is awesome to get all four people on a plane and just go hunting. And you fly around in a circle and you wait until you find a group of people moseying across the map, and then you drop down on them and pounce like a freaking tiger. It is... Mm-hmm. Look, of course, does it have its flaws? Yes. And one of its biggest flaws, I think, now, because of all the things they've added, is that there is a high learning curve. Like, I think this game has become like League of Legends in the sense
it's very much is.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think Zach, who probably rarely plays it, could jump in right now and be successful early on.
Yeah, Shannon tried doing this because I was talking it up a lot, and so he went in and then just kind of turned it back out, and he's like, no.
Yeah, it's just too high of a learning curve now.
Because the game, when you watch people play, especially streamers, like you feel like you have to learn how to build well in order to survive. And I agree with you; they have added, you know, like porta forts and all kinds of stuff like that to help you. Yeah, I mean, there is stuff like that too, but like I'm terrible at building in this game, but I play with people who are good at building, and I just stay behind them, you know? That's how I roll, and it works for me. Like, I don't feel like you have to be a really good builder in order to enjoy this game. You can enjoy it on a casual level, for sure.
I'm the explosives and the sniper guy. Like, that's what I'm very good at, and this is a game that I can say I'm very good at. I'm not stream worthy, I'm not... Some guy who's
beat ninja.
Yeah, heck no. But I can hold my own and I can play well. And so I just wanted to take a second and just say, you have to be impressed with what Epic has done with Fortnite in the way that they have refused to let their game get tiresome or bored. And we say all this, they've never changed their map. Like, yes, they've added stuff, they've moved things around on the map, but it is the same map that they've had since day one.
That map is like a character in itself.
Yes, yes.
You know, you can't say that about, like, any other Battle Royale game. It's just, like, it's just a playground for you to run around in. This game, I mean, like, all the locations or everything are, like, characters in their own.
Doesn't PUBG have the same thing? Hasn't PUBG kept basically the same map?
No, they've added.
No, they've added. They have like three or four now.
Yeah, they've added multiple maps, and so like they have a snow map. You know what Fortnite did? Mm-hmm. They just put snow everywhere. That's just what
they're like.
Done.
It's winter now. There's snow.
Yep. You know, and they try to make a narrative. Like, you know, there's mysteries in this world. Like, you know, you go up to the peak, and there's continually a melting going on with the castle. And I can't wait to find out what's going to happen whenever it gets melted away. And it started way back a year ago when they were doing this stuff with the superhero stuff. Because the vaults were closed in Wayne Manor. It's not really Wayne Manor but we called it that. But they were, you know, you couldn't open the fortresses.
And they had the stuff on the TVs that would be like when they did the meteor and everything, like it would like tease on like a warning on the TVs that are just sitting around inside of buildings and stuff. Like they added into their environments where people just pick up on like, ooh, what is this and what does it mean? And then all of a sudden the next season comes out and now you know what that was.
That's very that's very Valve like, you know, like just letting the environment tell you the story, not anyone actually spelling it out for you.
Yeah. And I love that move they pulled where they actually had the tomato like logo on that restaurant, like it disappeared in game and all of a sudden it ended up in the real world, like in some kind of desert in California.
Yes.
Like that was really, really cool how they're like starting to like, it's like an AR game now. Like, they're starting to bring stuff in and someone, they didn't even say they were doing it. Someone just found it like driving down the road. Like that was really cool that they did. I mean, they're incredibly smart what they're doing with this game. It's incredibly smart. They deserve everything they've earned with it. So, Robbie, I'm going to ask you this because we had a long conversation about this and you weren't here at that time. What do you think about the dance lawsuits?
Okay. So first of all, Carlton doesn't really own that dance. The studio who videotaped him and distributed the show owns that material.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't officially own it. And so that's kind of where I felt like I just don't care. Like, I just think it's stupid to sue over a stupid dance. You're really just trying to grab money from a wealth of money that is being made. And look, he probably did get paid. All of them probably got paid. Hence the reason why in Forza Horizon 4, they've actually taken the Carlton and they've taken the floss out of the game. Because,
oh, did they? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, they took them out. And I bet it all has to do with this. So, look, I could be wrong and people could think I'm stupid, but I just don't care. I know that's probably not the answer you're looking for.
No.
I'm sure you want
some rant. That's what I was looking for, was your opinion.
I just don't care.
Okay.
What did y'all say in a nutshell? Like, what?
I understand. Like, I like Zach's case was like it sets a bad precedent kind of thing. Like, if you can just start suing over body movements and stuff. But to me, like, if you're like a rapper and you created this dance and it's all you, and all of a sudden now they're just making money off of the dance you created, like, I would probably want to be compensated in some way. I'm not saying that they should, but I understand why they feel they should.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, where it gets slimy when, you know, like if these were just emotes that they threw in the game, then I don't think anyone has a case. But when you're charging for them and it's like, you know, the kid that developed the floss can't charge people to, you know, he's not charging my son every time my son starts flossing in my living room. You know, like it's one of those things, like if someone's profiting off it, it probably should be him on some level. But
mm-hmm. That's fair. Like in his case, that makes sense. Yeah.
But it makes I still say it sets a very dangerous precedent going forward of, you know, what is created content. And if copyright law has already determined that dances are not covered, well, I don't know. So, you know, these lawsuits are moving forward and they're going to set new precedents that maybe they're needed. You know, maybe it's time for some rules to change or some laws to change or in that regard. But it also changes everything if it does. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Okay. Cool. Robbie, you've still been playing Smash too, right?
Yeah, I have. Actually, this is going to be the smallest section ever for video game stuff.
Okay.
The game is still infuriating because of how long it takes to open up characters.
I completely agree.
Also because it's Smash Brothers. It's also infuriating for that.
I'm actually enjoying playing the game.
No, you're not.
I am, dude. I love Lucas. I love playing with Lucas so much.
Have you played this multiplayer yet? Like couch multiplayer, no, like not online.
I haven't had a chance to play online with anybody yet.
Yeah, because playing online is not very good in this game. The online mode kind of sucks. But I had like a little get together with some people, and we had like five or six people in rotation playing this, and I had an absolute blast with it. To me, that is sort of a requirement for this game really sit down with people and play.
That was literally how I spent my Christmas evening. Was at my mother-in-law's house, and my wife's brother and brother-in-law and she all brought our Switches over to the house, and they had a little Smash Brothers tournament for like 3 or 4 hours Christmas evening. And man, I could not stop playing that game fast enough. Like it was just
really,
and it's just me. I'll fully own it. It's me. I don't understand Smash Brothers. I've never gotten it. I've never liked it. But I went to it going, maybe. The game has changed enough. I'm with people that really know how to play it, so they can like kind of coach me up a little bit. Maybe there's just things I'm not getting that I can finally be in the environment where it'll click with me. And yeah, after about an hour, I was like, you all can keep playing. I'm done. Like this is not fun. I can't follow it. I can't do anything. I'm just getting kicked off of ledges and I'm not really sure how anything's happening. Like I'm good. We're good here.
You know, I'll be honest. I mean, I feel the exact same way with Tekken. Like, mm-hmm. I don't get Tekken. I don't get people's love and adoration for Tekken. Like, I understand the characters that people enjoy, but like that gameplay, the way that system flows, that ain't for me. Or Blaze Blue. Like, get that out of here. Like, I don't want to play that.
Guilty Gear? Can I get you in some Guilty Gear?
I can maybe dabble in that a little bit.
Alright.
Maybe.
See, I love Tekken. Like, in, like, Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
And Dead or Alive. Like, those 3D fighters like that, that's my bread and butter, man. That's what I love.
And see, I'll play Marvel's Capcom or now Dragon Ball FighterZ, but, like, I'll play a game like that for hours. I've obviously played Smash for hours, you know? I'm four or five hours into the game. And I hate how long they make you play the game before you can actually play the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I felt the same way. I didn't really want to start playing it legit until I had all the characters at my disposal.
Yeah,
I also hate how there's no Heihachi or Volcano in Smash Brothers.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Fun fact, I stuck the original Marvel vs. Capcom on that arcade machine back there. Mm-hmm. That game still plays amazingly well.
Dude, the Marvel vs. Capcom 2
2 is my jam.
Iceman is so legit in that game.
That was one of my favorite Dreamcast games, for sure.
Dude, speaking of Dreamcast, put Power Stone on that thing.
Yeah.
It emulates Dreamcast, but not very, very well. Because I tried to put the arcade version of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on it, and it just wouldn't work. But the original Marvel vs. Capcom works really, really well on it, and that game is still super fun to play.
Wasn't it Marvel Heroes, then Marvel vs. Capcom?
No, yeah. there was the X-Men game before.
Yeah, Children of the Atom.
Children of the Atom. Yeah.
Yep, so it was... Kind of started with X-Men, then it went Capcom, and then Capcom did the SNK one, then it did the Tekken one as well. Which was terrible.
You know what I just thought about?
What?
Fatal Fury, which is a game I haven't thought about in 20 years. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Oh, dude, when he takes the hat off and flicks it. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Terry Bogard, whatever his name is.
Samurai Showdown. What's up, guys?
What's up? Oh, dude. The little dude that had the, like, knife hand thing. Yeah, dude,
my dad, I think I've told you guys this before, not the new listeners, but... My dad used to run this pizza joint, and he only had two arcade games in there. One was Samurai Showdown, and I, of course, got to play for free because my dad was the manager. And two was that baseball game that had humans versus robots. Like, it had the robot baseball game in it. It's like Robot
2031 or something.
Yeah. And so I just played those games, Samurai Showdown, and homeboy, you slice, and then you just turn around the screen, and you put in your sword. Oh, my gosh, it's so good. That game's actually on... Samurai Showdown 2 is actually on Game Pass.
Are you serious? I'm downloading that. I'm going to download that right now.
But what I was thinking is just really quickly, because this is, again, a podcast that was supposed to be super short, and it's not going to be short at all.
See, I told you, this happens every time.
Every time.
Now that Marvel officially owns all the characters again, except for the ones that are at Sony.
Yeah, Fantastic Four they don't own, right?
Yeah, no, they've got the first family back.
Oh, they do?
We could actually get a legit fighting game with Marvel characters now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that.
Oh, wait, that's right. Disney and Star Wars don't know how to deal with their crap well at all, and they give it to crappy companies to make their games. Never mind.
EA will make it.
Stupid EA.
It'll be that Marvel Nemesis game or whatever it was that they made. Like, that fighting game was really bad.
Oh, that was so bad.
Zach, you been playing anything, man?
Just the same stuff I've always been playing. I don't really need to dredge anymore about.
Dabbling.
Yeah, it's like Tomb Raider. I'm cleaning some stuff up in that, and I spend my time going, why am I doing this? Because I don't really like it all that much, but I'm just like basically spinning my wheels until Resident Evil hits.
Friday.
And that's the thing, is like I don't have the time to like literally sit down and go through something else, so I'm just kind of like, I'll screw around in Spider-Man for a little bit. I'll play some Tomb Raider for a little bit.
That's pretty much what I was doing with Assassin's Creed.
My next semester starts on Monday, and Resident Evil comes out on Tuesday, or Friday, but I'm leaving to go out of town with my college ministry group for like a weekend retreat, so I'll only get to play Thursday night, and then I won't get to touch Resident Evil again until Sunday, and then school starts the next day.
Ooh.
And so my game playing is going to be like that, Zach. Like, the only time I'm going to get to play is on my Switch in between classes. So get ready, guys, for a lot of Switch commentary.
Yeah.
Yep.
So are you guys going Leon or Claire first?
Leon.
Leon.
I'll do Claire, just because you guys are going Leon.
Okay.
I don't think women should be in games. I think they belong in the kitchen.
Okay. Elena would smack the shit out of you right now if she heard that.
What's up, Elena?
Claire needs to be making Leon sandwiches.
Jill sandwiches?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Anyways, let's go to our week in review. Now, we actually got some feedback this week that people would like for us to talk about movies and stuff more. And I think we actually have a lot to talk about right now in TV with movies. Because, Zach, you saw Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Yes, I did. And
I still have not seen this. How was it?
Man, I'm so bummed that Golden Globe winning seen it.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. And it's Oscar nominated, isn't it?
Yeah, but not for what it deserves for Best Picture.
Yeah.
It's just animated, right?
It's a good enough movie to be just Best Picture. It doesn't need to be pigeonholed into the animated category. But I will say the animation is unlike anything I've seen. It looked incredibly cool from the trailers. It's really neat how they pull it off. And because the concept itself, I mean, I won't go into spoiler territory, but you obviously know the concept where, you know, they all these different spider people from different universes, or different, not universes, but you know what I mean, dimensions, get pulled into this one. And the main dimension, quote unquote, is essentially the Sam Raimi universe, which I thought was kind of funny. But so it, they all get pulled in there, and it's a concept that could totally fall apart. Because you have all these different... Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a lot to take on at first.
And it's just everyone has different looks and movesets and vibes and all these things that, like Robbie said, they could spend so much time delving into the minutiae of all these guys. Instead, they're just like, there's Noir Spider-Man. He doesn't see color. Okay, moving on. You know, it is just, wait, but what is he? Huh? What? I don't. Okay, sure. We're still moving. There's a giant robot that's being piloted by a spider for some reason. Okay, sure. Yeah, that's great. The robot's funny. I like it. Let's keep going. You know, like, and it just, and that's the thing with the movie is it feels like I sat there for 20 minutes. Because it just moves so fast. Like, the movie just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. Even when it's building characters, something's always happening. And it's like the fastest feature-length film I've ever watched. Like, it's just one of those movies where it was over. I'm like, wait, that's it? Oh, wait, but all this happened. So, yeah, okay, I guess that's it. But the character, the voice acting is just amazing. The character development is great. It's unlike any other animated movie I've ever seen, just and pure technique and execution. And man, it's day one purchase when it comes on, when it comes home video, day one. Like, I'm going to order that post haste. And
it's pre-orderable now on digital.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right, I'll probably do that then, because it's also one of those things I can see my kid going nuts over it. Like,
yeah, my son likes Spider-Man. He likes watching me play Spider-Man on PS4, so he might really dig this. Yeah.
To add to that, and I know that we're not. Sometimes I think it's okay to mention social commentary in a good way, or in a bad way if it's really bad. But I think what made me so happy about Spider-Verse. It's the same thing that made me so happy about Black Panther, and my dog is trying to play with me, so I apologize. It was awesome. Like, it made me tear up in the moment. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome getting to see these kids walk out of a theater, these black kids walk out of a theater and say, hey, that Spider-Man looks like me. Like, I actually heard him say it. I actually heard a kid say that. And then during Black Panther, seeing hearing grown men say, it's awesome to finally see a superhero that looks like me on screen. Like, Into the Spider-Verse, and I don't think that's why Into the Spider-Verse is so great. It's just another element that makes it so great, is that we now live in an age where people of all color, all ethnicity, all orientation can be represented in these superhero movies. And I think that's cool. I think that's just beautiful. And I just wanted to add to that. I'm sorry to commandeer your time, Zach.
Yeah, because Miles is kind of the main character in this movie, right?
Yeah, and he's Hispanic and black. And like, they don't cram it down your throat like, you know, hey, here's what he does for his birthday, you know, for Hispanic culture. Like, you just hear him speaking Spanish to his mom. And it's just as simple as that. But like, they represent something at a bigger level. And it was just really cool.
Okay. Sweet. I ran through the Punisher season 2 this week.
I'm on episode 4, so be careful on spoilers.
That's where it starts to slow down.
And that's fine. I don't mind that. I don't mind the slowdown.
Well, so I'm assuming you watched this first season, right?
Yeah. Lisa,
okay.
My wife, who is in the Army, who has dealt with PTSD, loves season 1 very much.
And that was really cool about that. It was like a lot of social commentary about post-traumatic stress disorder and soldiers when they come home and the things they got to deal with and stuff. That was really cool. And there's still a bit of that in here as well. Not as much, but it's still here. This is a much more violent version. Like, of course, the first season was very much violent too, but the action is much more visceral and brutal in this season, I noticed, but it's still like sparse. Just like the first season, you're going to get big chunks of the season that are kind of slow paced. It's like they're trying to stretch out a thin story across, you know, 13 hours worth of content here. And I very much feel like they did the same thing with season 2 as well. So it does have its highs and lows, But around episode 4, it starts to get a little slow, and it starts to, like, my interest in the character started to wane a bit, and then around episode 7, it ramped back up again, and it had me all the way to the end. I do believe that they probably had 2 different seasons worth of content here, because we all know this is probably going to get canceled here within the next week or so. They've been doing it with all the other Marvel shows, so I don't see why they won't do it here as well. But they have 2 villains in this season, and I feel like they could have pulled those out and did 2 different seasons with each one, and they probably were going to, but I feel like they knew that the end was coming with this thing, and they probably just crammed them all together, because that's how it feels. They've kind of crammed 2 villains in here when I don't really feel like that was necessary. But overall, I liked the story with the girl with the backpack that he gets involved with. I liked the new character of the doctor, like the psychologist and all the stuff that goes through. The action was really, really good when it pops up.
That bar fight scene is so awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The season, the episode 3, I won't spoil anything, but there's a really cool action sequence there, too. But I love the grunts that John Bernthal does now. Like, every time he's about to, shoot someone or, punch someone, he goes, "Oh!" and does that thing right before he does it. Like, that's something new he started doing, and it's really cool. I don't know. It's silly when you first hear it, but it kind of adds, a badass element to him. I don't know. I really like The Punisher. Like, I don't really care for these Netflix Marvel shows very much. Like, Daredevil was okay, but I didn't really care for, Iron Fist or Jessica Jones or anything. But The Punisher is one of my favorite comic book characters of all time. And the fact that John Bernthal is probably the best we've had so far, seeing the Punisher represented on screen. I like the Thomas Jane movie. I know a lot of people.
Okay,
hated
I was gonna say, like, I like those movies.
Yeah,
I thought
fun.
They were all right.
Jane movies is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's kind of corny at times. It's a little silly, but I thought it worked for me. I thought it was a fun movie. Now the one that Ray Winston, I think his name was in
the second one.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that one. That's one I feel like I need to revisit, though. I've only seen it once, and I just remember not really liking it. But
the
I think
with
this
Kevin
is
Kevin Nash as the Russian or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's also the one where he freaking breaks a dude's neck by leaning his head back and stomping. So it's pretty ridiculous.
John Bernthal is definitely the best Punisher, though, and I would love to see him get his own movie. I hope that happens, especially if they do cancel this. I hope they move him to the cinematic universe and allow him to continue there, because I would love to see more of this. But overall, I enjoyed season 2. It's about on par with season 1 for me. Like your wife, Robbie, probably won't enjoy it as much because the soldier aspect and what they deal with when they return home isn't as much of a issue here as it was in the first season.
She won't care as long as someone gets stabbed in the throat. My wife loves gratuitous violence.
Yeah, yeah, and it's got better action this time. But you still don't really see the Punisher be full blown Punisher here either. You know, there's still a lot of drama and stuff going on.
When we quit recording, I need to ask you a specific question because I'm 4 episodes in it. It bothers me right now. I'll ask you off air.
Okay, but still, I think it's very much worth watching. I enjoyed it.
I'm loving it so far.
Yeah, I burned through it in a weekend. I think I watched 4 episodes on Saturday, and I watched 8 of them on Sunday. I had one of those very rare moments where I had the day to myself, and no one was in the house Sunday, and I just watched this straight through. So, I dug it. It was cool.
I'm 4 episodes in, and I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait to finish. Mm-hmm. For me, I want to just talk about 2 quick things. Artemis, no. she's starting to whine. 2 things. 1, first of all, I went and saw Glass this past weekend.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever had a movie give me such mixed feelings.
That's what I've been hearing.
It's mixed feelings. You know, people use mixed feelings to describe, you know, certain people use it to describe their time with Man of Steel or with Justice League or with BVS. And they say mixed, they really enjoyed or loved one part, but they hated another part. That's not what I'm saying. Okay. I'm saying that I really enjoyed certain parts of it, and I have no freaking idea what they were doing with the other part of it. And
are you talking about the ending?
Not just the ending, just the movie in general. And I promise I won't spoil anything, guys. First of all, the acting is fantastic. The subplot with Mr. Glass is awesome.
How's Bruce Willis in this? Because lately his performances have been pretty crappy.
Okay, so I was actually going in trying to monitor that. But because his character is so stoic, Like, you can't really tell. So he kind of just does his thing. You've got Samuel Jackson taking it to another level, and you've got, obviously, James McAvoy doing his thing. And then Bruce Willis is just kind of like there stoically. So, but my problem is the movie cannot decide what kind of film it wants to be. And honestly, they should have made this into two films. Because right now, the best way I can describe this is that this is a lackluster sequel, or this is a lackluster ending to a fake trilogy. Because this is not a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sequel to Unbreakable that just happens to have James McAvoy's character in it.
And Unbreakable is probably my favorite Shyamalan movie.
Bro, it's mine too.
Yeah, I love that movie to death, and when this was announced, I was super excited for it, and I liked Split. You know, I didn't love Split, but I liked Split. So, but the reviews and a lot of the negative stuff I'm hearing about this, I just kind of like, I mean, I'm in a wait-for-DVD kind of spot now, like Redbox for $1.50 or something. Oh, I don't know if I'm actually going to go see it in theater.
It only cost $2 million to make, and...
he funded it himself, I heard.
Yeah, I was going to say, he paid for it out of pocket. But... the movie, like, I don't care what anyone says. Split is not a, like, it may technically be, but it does not feel nor look like a sequel to Unbreakable. No. And so I say, again, it is a lackluster ending to a fake trilogy for me. You know, but then the second thing is, I just want to talk about Oscars really quick. This is another year where I'm lucky. I've already seen all the movies that have been nominated, and I'm super excited about them. However, Bohemian Rhapsody and Black Panther do not belong in the top seven films of the year. And I
want to see Bohemian Rhapsody just because I like Queen.
Queen's my favorite band. It's a fun movie, but they don't.
I've heard it's just mediocre. Like, well, it's because just the average.
It's told out. It's biopic. Not even the right story. Like. They change things, and then things aren't done in order. Like,
I really wanted to see that Sacha Baron Cohen version of this.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to or not. Or
apparently it's going to go to some dark places, but that seemed more interesting to me than just a watered down biopic.
Well, Rami Malek's version of Freddie Mercury will not be outdone. That thing is incredible. He is fantastic. Go ahead.
I have a bit of a qualm with that, though, because I mean I keep reading that, like, oh, he'll be a shoe-in for best actor, and
Christian Bale's about to win it, but go ahead.
But he does an amazing impression, and at some point, when are you doing an impression and when are you acting? You know what I mean? It's like if you copy someone's mannerisms down to a T, and view all the little vocal tics, all the little hand movements, all that stuff, because you watched and studied the video over and over and over and over and over again. It's impressive, sure. But are you really acting?
The only argument I would give for him in this situation is that he is singing as well. Like, he does all of the singing in all the numbers, musical numbers. That is him. That is not Freddie Mercury. And that, to me, is impressive. But you're right. Like, but it just goes back to the philosophy of, you know, like, you know, go back to, what's his name? Colin Firth, who won Best Actor for impersonating Prince Philip or whatever, for, you know?
Sure.
Like, with the
King's speech.
Yeah, with the stammer. You know, is that because he impersonated the guy really well or he acted really well, you know?
Mm. What about Jamie Foxx as Ray Charles?
Yeah, exactly. But okay. I just was disappointed, like... I'm not saying Black Panther is bad. I'm not saying Black Panther doesn't deserve it because of anything other than I just think First Reformed and First Man are better made films. And
like, I'm shocked First Man wasn't nominated because that movie had a lot of Oscar buzz behind it when it came out. I still haven't seen it yet. It just dropped on Blu-ray. I want to pick it up.
Hey, you guys. I don't even know what movie that is.
That's the Neil Armstrong movie.
And I've never heard of it until you guys mentioned it right now.
The cool thing is that my grandfather actually worked on Apollo 11. So, like, I think he's actually, if I'm not mistaken, he was not credited, but they actually researched to try to find him to ask him questions, but he passed, unfortunately, before making this movie, which I thought was kind of cool. But
that's cool.
But anyway, I just wanted to get that out for a second. The Oscars are a lot of fun always for me.
Who are you rooting for?
I think Vice or Black Klansman. should win Best Picture.
I'm going with A Star Is Born.
Oh, that's
I really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
No, that movie was not fun at the end.
Heartbreaking.
It was.
But I don't know. I just think both
the
Vice
music. The music was really good. My wife loves that soundtrack to A Star Is Born. She listens to it all the time. Because at first, when that movie was like, when I first saw the trailers for it, I thought it was just like country music stuff. I'm just like, eh, you know.
It's a remake of a remake.
Yeah, it's a remake of a remake. Yeah, absolutely. But the strong reviews and everything, you know, is what made me go see it. And it's actually not really country at all. But the music was really, really good. The performances were great. Bradley Cooper was fantastic in it.
And he directed it.
Yeah, Lady Gaga, I thought her performance was fine. I don't think it's an Oscar worthy. I would have rather plucked her out and put Toni Collette in for Hereditary. I thought she should have deserved an Oscar nom here. But
Hereditary should have been in Best Picture.
Yeah, that movie was really... That's one of mine.
A Quiet Place could have been nominated for Best Picture.
I think Annihilation should have been in there. That's my favorite movie of this year.
With Annihilation was no one got Annihilation. Like, no one understood.
But that was part of the beauty of it. It was open to interpretation, and your mind just kind of goes wild. And I love movies that do that. Like, a movie that I walk away from and I'm still thinking about it is a key part of, you know, movie making to me, like, what I love. And that movie was so good. I love Annihilation.
What comic book movie should have been nominated instead of Black Panther?
Into the Spider-Verse.
See, Black Panther was my favorite comic book movie from last year. So I think I like that it's there. If I was going to pick one, it would be that one. But
it can't be Infinity War because that's an open ended movie. Like it's not finished.
And I enjoyed Black Panther more than I did Infinity War. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy I loved Infinity War, but Black Panther had something about it that just felt fresh to me. I think that's why I like it so much.
You know what movie was secretly really awesome? And I'm not talking for Oscars, obviously, but secretly really awesome was Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yes, it was.
Ant-Man and Wasp was fucking great.
It was so good. I haven't seen it yet. It was so
good. It's so good.
I didn't even see Ant-Man 1 until about 4 months ago.
You're missing out,
bro. Ant-Man 1 and 2 are the undervalued Marvel movies that no one talks about. And
it was such like a good palate cleanser after Infinity War, like was so dour, you know. It was just such a good like uplifting kind of movie that it was great.
I need to get on that.
I have some issues with Black Panther, and it has nothing to do with Africa, has nothing to do with the social commentary, has everything to do with the plot and the fact that the most boring character is Black Panther. Like, everyone else around him is more interesting.
That's absolutely true.
Every other character around him is more interesting.
I like also, the villains more than I did the heroes.
Also, Killmonger's kind of right. Like,
he is.
I had my major problem with Black Panther is I'm sitting there the whole time going like, no, but he's like totally right. And he does have a legit claim to this throne. And he won. Why is everyone fighting him? Like, these are the rules. He followed the rules. Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, it's one of those things. Like,
I think
he's not this, like,
he killed people, like, innocent people a lot.
Yeah, he was mad. Like, manic. Yeah. Manic is probably the better word.
Yeah. Sure. Especially when he capped his girlfriend.
Oh,
like,
Zach,
in the beginning.
Zach, you're not wrong. I'm just saying, like, just because. What is the phrase from, oh my gosh, the Coen brother movie? With the Big Lebowski. No, you're not wrong, but you're still an a-hole. Like,
yeah. You know, totally, right? Yeah.
Like that's essentially.
Killmonger is easily the most sympathetic villain I've seen in a comic book movie ever.
For sure. I thought Michael B. Jordan was going to be nominated for Best Supporting. Like, of any actor in that movie, I thought he deserved it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I liked his performance in Creed 2 more than I did here, though.
See, so. I haven't seen Creed 2 yet.
Yeah, Creed 2 is super good. But yeah, I mean, I agree. But to me, the most exciting characters in Black Panther were the two female, like the lady from Walking Dead that plays Michonne. I would love to see a spinoff movie of just her.
Yeah, I mean,
that would be great.
Legit,
the sister is super entertaining too.
Shuri was so well done and so has become so popular that Marvel has actually given her own comic. And it's actually good, and it's long run, you know, long. It's a long withstanding book, but that's beside the point. I think this season, this year for this past year for movies, is a great year if if you can appreciate eclectic range of films, because like A Quiet Place, Overlord, you know, Black Klansman, which, you know, a lot of people aren't even talking about Black Klansman, and they should. It's probably Spike Lee's best movie. And
he kind of fell from grace there for a while, too. His movies were so hot, and then he come back strong with this one. So yeah. I haven't seen Black Klansman yet, but I really want to.
And then, you know, Mission Impossible Fallout was freaking
incredible. Yeah, that was super good, too. You know? Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. That's all I got for movies. I just wanted to talk about that for a second.
Okay, cool. Anything else anyone want to get out of their system?
Nah, I think we covered some good ground tonight.
Next week, we'll have something to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week, we are coming back strong with some Resident Evil talk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mash up my herbs, get some things ready.
Get my F-Aid spray.
Yep.
Spray myself down like some Axe body spray.
You know what? I will say this. I picked up Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I'm a huge fan of the first one. And so I'm playing. I just picked that up. And so I'll be playing that. What?
I didn't care for that game too much. But I hope you like it.
You know what? Shannon played the shit out of that game. So
he put like 200 hours into it or something.
I'm traveling this weekend. And I'll have a lot of downtime because this event is for my college students and not for me. So I'll have a lot of downtime. And I was going to dive into that. And I just bought a fancy new case for my Switch. And Josh, you've just crushed my soul. Hey, you know what? If I don't like it, I have Octopath Traveler. So I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, see, I didn't care for it. Shannon loved it. He adores Xenoblade 2. I liked Xenoblade Chronicles 1 much more. But hopefully you'll dig it more than I do, man. People like it. You know, it just didn't click with me. Awesome. Well, we'll close it out here this week. So thank you, everyone, for listening again this week. If you want to follow us on Twitter at ThatPixelLife to get show updates, you can do that. Join that Facebook group. We talk about games every single day there, and there's a lot of really cool stuff. And if you want to communicate with us or any way or post any questions to us or anything you would like for us to talk about, that would be the place to do it, or on Twitter as well. Don't forget to drop us an iTunes review. If you guys are using Apple products and you're on iTunes, please drop us a review if you don't mind. It takes a couple minutes and it really helps us out. We have a good number there already, and a lot of people have been saying some really good things about us, so we really appreciate it. But even if it's bad stuff, you know, we love the feedback, so let us know in some reviews. But otherwise, that'll be it for us this week. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in once again. We'll see you next week, and have an awesome weekend.